Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Automatic for the nipple. That's all I got.
All right, there we go.
There's your opening.
All right, it's time for another Rock in the Suburbs 90s Album Madness Tournament Update here on the podcast that is Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And with us are our ace analysts, Mike Coley. Hello, Mike.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Doing all right. And Jason Goble. Hello, Jason.
Hey, everybody.
And guys, I'm back from my rock and roll adventure. Thank you for taking care of things while I was out.
Absolutely. Was it a good time?
It was great. Saw the the big tour that everybody's talking about. The Michael Shannon. This is the big tour everybody's talking about. The Michael Shannon, Jason Narduzzi, do REM tour. Which, by the way, I laugh about that because it's like, among our group and among, several of my friends, it is like the big thing to go to this show. And it's like so much fun and so cool. But if you try to explain it to anybody outside of our circle, they have no idea what you're talking about. Yeah.
I had sent, Michael Stipe showed up the night I went, and I sent a picture of Michael Stipe and the band, and they're like, where are you at? And I'm like, I'm at Brooklyn Steel. There's this tour, Shannon Narducci. And they're like, what? So you essentially paid to see you trekked to Brooklyn to see an REM cover band. And I'm like, I guess so. I had a great time, but yeah, I had a great time though.
It's really something. I'll say that the show I went to was in Bloomington, Indiana, which is, where I went to college. And that's where Life's Rich Pageant was recorded at John Mellencamp's studio just outside of Bloomington back in the mid 80s. And they were doing a tribute to Life's Rich Pageant. They played, the first set was the album in order. And then the second set was just a bunch of other REM. Not just a bunch of other, but like a really interesting set of REM songs. They were only a couple of the quote unquote hits. I mean, toward the end of the set was Radio Free Europe and it really rocked. But, there were a lot of just really interesting choices from all eras. I mean, they even did, one of the albums in our 90s bracket here, Automatic for the People, they did a couple of songs from that. They did Night Swimming. It was really amazing. They even played, some songs from the later period, the post Bill Berry period. So yeah, it was like all over the place. And Jason, you saw this show, as you mentioned, in New York, and Michael Stipe was at that one. This one, Mike Mills was there, and he sang of course he sang Superman. He sang lead on that because that's his, he sang lead on the record, but he sang along with Michael Shannon on many other songs of the night. So nice. That was really cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I would say, look, the show is definitely worth it. Like Stipe came out for two songs at the end of their set. But I was having a great time even before Stipe came out.
Yeah. No, the band is amazing. And Michael Shannon is like such intensity that he's fascinating to watch. But the funny thing is when you tell people like, oh, what show did you go to? Or what are you going to? Or whatever. And you like, first thing is like, do you know the actor Michael Shannon? And he's not exactly a household name. He's a great actor. He's been nominated for an Oscar. He's been in some really cool stuff, but he's not, Timothy Chalamet or something, right? People are like, no, I don't know that. Okay. Well then he's in a band and he sings and they do REM songs, and people just look at you like they sort of slowly back away. Yes. Anyway,
kind of like the reaction I get when I tell my family, oh, I'm going to fish. Oh, yeah, again.
Yeah.
So. And the reaction that I get when I say I'm going to Suburbs Fest.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go. All right. Okay, so here we go. We are going to talk about the 90s Album Madness Tournament. We have daily matchups at facebook.com/suburbspod. And guys, we now have a Sweet 16. We've been doing this thing for like 6 weeks, and we now have a Sweet 16 all set up. There are people who have been following this. You know, there are four quadrants to this tournament. There's sales, critics, listeners, and hosts. And what we are going to do right now is recap the second round of the host quadrant. Those albums, you know, advanced to and filled out the Sweet 16 field. And then we'll preview what's coming up, which will be the first four of the Sweet 16 matchups. All right. So first off, in the host quadrant, we had the number two seed, Sugar, Copper Blue, defeating the number seven seed, Breeders' Last Splash, 109-86. It was pretty close. I think, as I recall talking about this, maybe the feeling was that Copper Blue was going to win, but, you know, it was not a foregone conclusion, right? So where do you guys stand on this?
Unfortunately, your day is done, the Breeders. Sorry. You know what? I think Bob Mould had the momentum and has momentum. It's definitely one of the strongest albums still left in this bracket. You know, Breeders impressive. I'll say that. In 86 in a loss, what a lot of the losses have been complete blowouts, and, you know, to basically only lose by about 20, a little bit over 20, not that bad. And 86 is pretty impressive too. So, we'll miss you, Kim, but Deal Sisters, but it's Bob Mould and Sugar moving on.
Yep. Mike, what did you think of this one?
Unfortunately, it was the Breeders' Last Splash in the tournament. It wasn't a huge surprise that Sugar, as a number two seed, took down the number seven Breeders. It was a matchup that probably looked closer on paper than in reality, because overall, I think Copper Blue is just a better album overall. And I think people recognize that. And if the victory margin can't change your mind, then nothing will.
Nicely done. Okay.
I think Copper Blue is going to carry through pretty strongly through the rest of this tournament.
Interesting. Okay. Patrick, anything?
I would just say I'm having a vision of getting my nipple pierced on the Hoover Dam if Sugar and REM make it to the final.
All right, so there you go. So congratulations to Bob Mould moving on there. It was also a battle of these like offshoot bands too, like bands for members of other bands. Yeah, I guess the 90s were a time for that. Second bands for people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, another big contender from this bracket, you'd have to say, is the Lemonheads' It's a Shame About Ray, which got 106 votes against the Jayhawks' Tomorrow the Green Grass, which got 76 votes. So, a little bit of a wider margin here. Still, I wouldn't call it a blowout. But guys, what do you think? Is this a shame or not?
It's a shame about the Jayhawks. It really is. I really thought they had the legs to run the court with Dando and company. And maybe it was, Juliana Hatfield running the point that proved to be the difference in this matchup. because they pulled out the Dando Dandies pulled off a big upset here.
Yeah, I mean, I was a little bit surprised. I thought the Jayhawks were thought the Jayhawks would take it. I mean, I know this community does love its Jangle Pop, and you're getting plenty of that with the Lemonheads. But Lemonheads advancing, and we shall see. It's so far a decent run for them, obviously.
Yeah, a little surprised. I think we all sort of thought the Jayhawks would take this, especially with the power of a Grand Funk Railroad cover on their side. But I think there's a lot of people out here in the community who've got pictures of Evan Dando taped inside their locker or their cubicle at work, and they're not telling anyone else. Yeah. Just when they open it up, there he is.
Could be.
Mark Farner, I still love you.
Yes.
So we all know that in the basketball world, the college basketball world, of course, there is a blue blood program that goes by Jayhawks.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no Lemonheads. I don't, not that to my knowledge, in college basketball. So some school needs to adopt Lemonheads, I think, as their mascot.
Be a great name. Great name.
Yep.
Right up there with the banana slugs.
Exactly. All right. Now we move on. DC Punk, Patrick, Fugazi, Repeater, in the Sweet 16, 73 votes over Buena Vista Social Club, 47. I think we saw this coming, but still, DC Punk in the Sweet 16. Patrick,
in
Google
the Sweet 16. Yeah, let's do it. No time to stand in the waiting room for Fugazi. Let's get right out there on the court, man. No hanging around backstage. Let's hit it. I think we all kind of thought they were going to win. Hate to see Buena Vista go out, but you can't go wrong with DC Punk. And this is a prime slice of DC Punk right here. And proud of Fugazi. Very proud of them. As a 16 seed, they're in the Sweet 16.
Oh, yeah. That's amazing. Well, you know, Gi has been known to hang from basketball rims, right?
That is very true. Yes. That is something. Yeah. That's
the difference right there.
Yeah. He's got incredible athletic ability. Actually climbed inside the basket and went through it at one point, which was amazing.
You know what? I want to file a formal protest because that shouldn't have been allowed against a bunch of 75-year-old Cuban musicians.
They definitely had a speed issue.
You know what?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what, though? I mean, I was expecting this to be worse, so I'll take Buena Vista getting 47, only losing by 26. I'll take that. It was a respectable run for them, and it was nice revisiting that album. I actually saw the Broadway show in November, so it was something that was kind of fresh. That when I saw you had picked it, Pat, I was kind of happy you picked it because it was something I had been listening to a bunch earlier in the, since seeing the show. I think it was around Thanksgiving time.
Amazing how it holds up, it really is.
Yeah.
All right, and then moving on here, the last one in the Sweet 16, rounding out the field, we have Le Tigre, 41 votes over Super Furry Animals Gorilla with 19. And, I'm a little bit disappointed that Le Tigre doesn't get more votes because one of the joys of this whole tournament for me was going back and listening to that album. And becoming like a super fan of it all over again. So, peoples, you got to listen to this Le Tigre album. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Super Furry Animals was a nice introduction to me. I'll definitely try and listen to some more. Kathleen Harriner, I think now we... We ended. I maybe the most women we've had in a Sweet 16. You know, Kathy Hanna and Letigre, Liz Phair and Lucinda. Pretty impressive for the ladies.
Yep.
Agree.
Mike, we know you love Letigre.
Yes, absolutely. I like super furry animals a lot as well, but I was a big Letigre fan before I really dug deep into super furry animals. So I'm glad to see them move on. They were, you know, I listened to that album again today while I was at work, and it's just a really cool album. It's just some just strange sonics going on there, and just it, you know, it's just great album. It's a great album.
Yep.
More people need to listen to Letigre.
All right, and Patrick, how are you feeling about the Sweet 16?
Feeling great. I think Harris King or somebody mentioned on one of our threads that this is not a bad 16 albums at all, except for maybe Hootie. Excuse me. But I think it will. I think if you put all this on shuffle, man, that would be fantastic.
Yeah,
you know?
You're right.
Let's just call it at 16, sit down and have a music jam. Just all sit around in a circle, hold hands, and listen to these albums.
Yeah, yep.
Can I put a call out to Suburbs Nation real quick?
Mm-hmm.
Is anybody interested in putting together a playlist of the Sweet 16?
I'm sure somebody will take that up.
Anybody?
I'd love it.
Yep. All right. Somebody get on that. Okay. So, looking ahead to the Sweet 16 round, and we'll analyze these on the next episode, but this will be your matchups in the host quadrant. You'll have Sugar Copper Blue against Lemonheads, It's a Shame About Ray, and you'll have Fugazi Repeater against Letigre. So there we go. All right. Now, let's look ahead to the sales quadrant and the critics quadrant for the Sweet 16. So these matchups will start today at 1 p.m. Eastern time. Again, facebook.com/suburbspod. And the Sweet 16 will open with Hootie and the Blowfish, Cracked Rear View against Nirvana, Nevermind. I have pretty strong feeling which way this is going to go, but I'll reserve that. I want to hear from you guys. Jason, what do you think? Hootie or Nirvana?
I do love Hootie. You know, Cracked Rear View. There's a reason that album sold a bunch of records. That having been said, I think there's a power trio that's going to put a hurting on South Carolina and their Blowfish on tomorrow into Friday. I think Nirvana wins. I think Nirvana wins handily.
Mike, would you disagree with that?
Nirvana is that album was a game changer. I still remember where I was when I first heard "Smells Like Teen Spirit," and you know I was already into indie rock and punk and metal and stuff like that when I was sitting there watching 120 minutes in my apartment in Potsdam, New York, while I was in college, and seeing the world premiere of Smells Like Teen Spirit. And I sat straight up in my seat and was like, holy cow, this is going to change everything. And it did. It really did. And some may say for the worse, because there were so many copycats that came along after them, and the record labels kind of were seeking out the next Nirvana after what happened with this album. But there's a reason for that, because it's a pop album, but it's a punk album as well. And it reached the mainstream, and it reached a lot of people. And it's my daughter just turned 21. Nirvana is her favorite band.
Hmm. Mm.
Right. So there's something to say for that. Nirvana is still resonating with even the younger generations now.
Yeah, I mean, I occasionally walk, you know, I well, I walk around the city and I'll occasionally see a teenager with Nirvana t-shirt or some sort of Nirvana apparel. And to your point, Mike, that's pretty amazing when I see that. It's like, you know, admittedly, I guess that means I'm kind of the old guy, but still, it's one of those ones where you're like, all right, the next generation's okay.
I'll agree with that. And I'll use an analogy here from the NHL. A lot of times when a team is, let's say the Rangers or New York Rangers this year, not having a good season, you know, they say like, well, they're already on the golf course. And we know Hootie's a big golfer. He might want to get ready to start playing because I think he's going to be knocked out of this one by about halftime. So he might want to get his reservations down there in Myrtle Beach. For the
start
next couple
polishing
weeks.
Up those TaylorMades.
There you go.
is Nirvana going to bring those sort of grunge cheerleaders to the the game? Yeah, that could tip things.
I'm all for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, now this one, I don't know. This one seems like it could be a battle. Also in the sales quadrant, we have Green Day Dookie against Pearl Jam 10. Those were big albums from the 80s. And with big fan bases even to this day. So I'll start with Mike here. Mike, what do you think? Which way would you pick this one?
Oh, man, this is, again, quoting our former station manager, it's a Sophie's choice. 10, I was in on that from the ground floor. I lived above a record store when I was at school at Potsdam. I got money for my birthday that year. I bought Pearl Jam's 10. I bought that month alone had so many just great releases. Soundgarden was released. Chili Peppers album, Blood Sugar Sex Magik, which is probably the only Chili Peppers album I'd like. But Guns N' Roses, Use Your Illusion, all those albums were released at the same time. And it's amazing how so much great music was released at once. And 10 just kind of jumped up above everything and just was just strewn into the mainstream. And they were lumped into the grunge movement. But to me, they're a classic rock band. They have, you know, the Eddie Vedder's love for The Who is pretty well known. And he's a big Split Enz fan, so he's a classic rock guy. And I see Pearl Jam as a classic rock band, and I really love that album. I don't listen to it as much as I listen to other Pearl Jam albums now, because I think it's so much of the airplay. But Dookie, I kind of liked it when it came out. But then my daughter got into it, and we went to see them. And seeing them play live, and they played for like 2 hours, and they brought kids on stage, and Billy Joe gives the kid a guitar after he brings him on stage to play with them. And it's just that whole – the whole persona that Green Day has. When we saw them, it was at Darien Lake out near Buffalo, which is a theme park. And they have roller coasters and all that. Mm. And so my daughter and I are standing in line at the roller coaster. And Trey Cool comes walking up the back steps and hops on the roller coaster ahead of everybody else. He got the VIP treatment because he came up the back stairway to get on the roller coaster before anybody else did. And he had his green hair going. Everybody's like, who the heck's that guy? Who the heck? I go, you don't know who Trey Cool is? So I have no idea. This is going to be a nail biter. It's going to be a battle right to the very end. I'm not going to pick a winner for this one. I can't.
Well, look, this is supposed to be, you know, fun and all, but let's get ready to rumble. I mean, this is why this tournament happens. I mean, we have a bunch of these coming up, I think, over the next few weeks. But, man, you're taking, I think Pearl Jam was like maybe the biggest, definitely one of the biggest albums of 92 versus Green Day, one of the biggest albums of 94. I want to say, I think both of these were like sort of Lollapalooza bands too, that like, because of the way, like these were like, I believe they were early Bill bands, because when the albums came out, you know, they were first being discovered. But by the time, you know, the shows started, like basically these became must-see bands that basically made sure people got to, I know at least with Pearl Jam, I didn't go. I have a friend of mine who ended up going to the Lollapalooza that Pearl Jam was on. And I remember saying there was like a, like he never, for what was supposed to be like a festival that was all day, everybody was trying to get in the door by 2 o'clock because Pearl Jam was going on at 2:30 or 3. So look, this is exciting. I'm going to go with 10, but yeah, I will not be surprised if Green Day pulls it out here.
Patrick?
I mean, it's a pick'em. I mean, it's a coin flip. The totals that both of these albums have racked up are astonishing. And I listened to both these records, and I was very surprised how much I knew of them both. It seems like I knew most of the songs on it without really, you know, don't believe I have a physical copy of 10, for example, but I knew almost all the songs. So very interesting how much they permeated music listeners during this time.
Yes, yes, for sure. We may have a house divided here at the estate because I'm probably more of the Green Day fan and my wife more of the Pearl Jam fan. So we'll see. It could be some be a tense outing as we watch the results come in. Okay. All right, now let's move over to the critics quadrant in the Sweet 16. First up, we have Radiohead, OK Computer against Liz Phair, Exile in Guyville. I don't know. Jason, how do you see this one playing out?
See, I also think this could be a tight matchup. Liz Phair has done pretty well. I was actually sort of impressed by her win total versus Hole. And Radiohead, you know, it's Radiohead that has had two strong performances. It does seem like there's a lot of love for Guyville. I think it's Radiohead that's going to take it, but I think this is going to be a good contest.
Mike, do you see this being close?
Yeah, I do. Both artists throughout the first two rounds have been pretty consistent with their vote totals, and Radiohead's gotten the bigger number of vote totals that Liz Phair has, but I think because Radiohead has been a presence for so much longer than Liz has. I mean, she's still doing things, but Radiohead is back in the news now. They're, you know, they're doing these LLCs and they're announcing tour dates and whatnot. So I think they're a little bit more front of mind than Liz Phair is. So I think that's going to kind of help them to push them to the next round. I think Radiohead moves to the next round.
All right. Patrick, what do you think?
I kind of got a feeling that I'm like, for example, myself, I like both records quite a bit. But I think it's not one where if you're forced to pick between these two, that it's that difficult, which is why I think it'll be close. I think if you're presented with Liz Phair or OK Computer, there's a choice of which one you're going to go to. I personally go Liz Phair every time. You know, it's not, I'm not like I'm not like torn here, just because of the dynamics, I think, of the two records and, you know, a British act and an American indie act from Guyville. I don't know. That's the way I see it anyway. So I think it could be close. I mean, I think it could be like 100 to 90 or something like that either way.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I think this will be a close one. A lot of love for both these albums. Okay, and then the last one we'll talk about today, the one that Patrick has a vested interest in. This
I better recuse myself from this analysis.
Getting back to where we started on this episode, REM, Automatic for the People, going up against, I think the surprise we didn't see coming, Lucinda Williams, Car Wheels on a Gravel Road. All right, let's start with Jason here.
Look, I think at this point it's the only surviving Americana album in the tourney at this point with Car Wheels, and as I said, it's definitely one of the stalwarts of Americana. I think it's going to be Automatic for the People. I think it's potentially going to be a little sizable. Lucinda, I think, has had a good run. I just don't see it overtaking REM. Sorry, Patrick, your nipple will still be in jeopardy after this round.
The peril continues.
Yes.
All right, Mike, does Lucinda have a shot?
Automatic for the nipple. That's all I got.
All right, there we go.
There's your opening.
Yep. All right, so there you go, peoples. Go vote. Facebook.com/suburbspod. We'll recap this again in another 4 days, and we'll talk about these matchups we just discussed and then look ahead to the other half of the Sweet 16. All right. Okay. Get some rest, guys. Get ready for all this.
Yep. Good. I just want to say really quick, Jim, before we jump off, I want to thank everybody for voting. The votes in this tournament have been outstanding. So really happy that we have a lot of people participating and really appreciate that.
Yep. Agreed. Buy those tickets. Pack the arenas. All right. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenahan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And
I couldn't tell who you're pointing to, so I'll just go. Jason Goble, right here.
They call me Mike Coley.
There we go. All right. Thanks,
Jason
guys.
Jason Goble, and I suck at taking direction. Sorry, folks.
All right, thanks, guys. We'll talk to everyone later. Fugazi should have been called for basket interference, and there may be a formal protest in the works here. So I don't know.
Yes.
Under review.
Yeah.